You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
His name is Alex Sheen. You may not have heard of him, but he is a young man who's become somewhat famous recently. I'm going to show you his picture. His dad died in 2012. He died from cancer. He was a young man for a dad to pass away, and Alex was asked to do the eulogy for his dad at the funeral. What an honor for a young man, but he was also troubled as to what he might say, and he got up to start the eulogy, and he began by saying, "My father was an average man." It doesn't sound like a good start to a eulogy, does it? He says he never ran a marathon. He never competed for world records. He never did a lot of things that the world calls great. But one thing my dad did was he always kept his word. If he said he would do something, he did it. If he told you he would pick you up at a certain time, he was there. You could always count on my dad. He said, "I just want to remember him with these words because I said I would." And as he concluded the eulogy at the funeral, he had little cards. A picture of him is there on the screen. And had these little cards, and he handed it out to everybody at the funeral. And he said, "Would you write something on the card that is a promise to yourself that because you said you would do this, you will, and you will follow through? Because there's not enough integrity in our world." So I handed the cards out, and I guess, like most of us, probably assumed that was the end of it, but some people who were at the funeral told other people, and they called him and said, "Alex, could we get a couple of your cards?" And he began to give the cards out to other people, and then people called him, and he began to send the cards. And as of this past week, he had sent 12 million cards to over 150 countries around the world. Because people resonate with a person who says they will keep their word, and then they do. Now, if you have a dad who just keeps his word, or if you have a friend who you can just count on, what a blessing. But let me tell you something even better. What if you have a God who will keep his word? And that's exactly what we're studying today. The angel says to Mary, "For no word of God will ever fail." Because he said he would, he will. You can take that to the bank. So today we are in our second in our angel series. We're studying just the words of the angels. We're looking at amazing people like Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and others, but we're not going to talk about them. We've talked about them other Christmas seasons. We'll mention them, but our focus is going to be the words of the angels. And we're going to see what we can learn about God and how he relates to us. So if you take your Bibles, will you join me in Luke chapter 1? We're basically continuing where we left off last week. And your sermon notes has the scriptures printed as well. If you'd like to follow along, please feel free to do so. Now I'm going to make one announcement this morning, and I'm going to make an announcement that I almost never make. I don't know how many years it's been since I've made an announcement like this here at Emmanuel, but I'm going to make an announcement today that if you're newer to our church, don't pay any attention to what I'm about to say. If you've been here for a while, this is for you. We have been so blessed over the past few months and years to be able to do things that are just incredible. We purchased the branch and 6 acres of property and the house on the other side of the entrance to Bittersweet there. So now we own 2 houses there and the property called the branch. And we've been able to do that without borrowing a dime. We've paid cash for everything. Now, that's good news. The bad news is we've had to borrow from other accounts within our own system. And we've had to kind of rob Peter to pay Paul kind of thing. No robbing, honestly. A church wouldn't do that. But we have shifted. We have shifted money. We also, from our previous building, have an indebtedness of $1.8 million. For a church our size, that's an easy thing to handle and take care of. And I haven't said anything about this in years. As you know, we don't even mention the offering on Sunday mornings. We don't oftentimes even pass a plate. We just ask you to give if you'd like as you leave. So we don't ever talk about this kind of thing. But I wanted to today because as we come to the end of the year, if you have the possibility of giving toward this indebtedness so that we can pay ourselves back and pay off our debt. It would just be exciting over the next few months to take care of that. Now, I was asked by a man this week, point blank, are you doing this so you can retire? No. I never want to pay something off so that I can just sit and do nothing. We have plans. We have some more projects, maybe even another building we'd like to do together. But that's kind of contingent on paying everything off first. We'd love to pay our debt, and then we'd like to do some exciting things that I won't tell you about for a while yet, but we'll tell you as that opportunity comes. But we're excited about what God has done with us, with the branch and the properties and all the things, good things we've had. What a blessing it's been. Thank you for your faithfulness. If you want to participate in any way, just make a note as you write on your check what it's for, that it's for the indebtedness, and we'll be glad to put it in the right place. Thanks again for all you do. Okay, if you have your phone with you, one more announcement. Just make sure you set it to the quiet mode, and we won't disturb each other, and let's dig in. There are two lessons in the series that I want to kind of drive home to you. One is that angels are essential in the Christmas story. You know that if you've been out about this week shopping, or maybe if you went on Friday night to the tour of the churches in Fort Wayne, you saw angels everywhere. This is the season of angels, and rightly so. It's the story of angels in the Bible. Secondly, the words of the angels help us to understand who God is and how he relates to man. And that's my focus for this series. Now, I think there's other things we'll learn, but to me, that's my focus, the thing that I'd like to accomplish in this series. I taught for 21 or 2 years at Huntington University at the graduate school. I taught a course called Biblical Theology. And biblical theology is when you take a passage of Scripture, or maybe you take a book of the Bible, or you could even take theme, and you track it through the Bible, and you write down everything you learn about God in that particular book or passage. After you get all those things, then some people are able to take them and put them into categories, and that's called systematic theology, when you systematize it. So our goal in this study is to do a biblical theology. Each week, learn one major thing about God, and then after we have all those, maybe to put them together and understand how God treats us, what we can expect from God, and then how we should respond to him. And that's the focus of this series. Now, last week we learned some things about angels, and I know last week was a holiday weekend, and maybe you weren't able to be here, and so I'd like to bring everybody up to speed on what we learned last week. This is the only time I'm going to do this. We're not going to talk about these things again in this series, but one more time, I'm going to quickly check them off to make sure we're all on the same page. Number one, angel appearances in the Bible are infrequent. I think many people think you can open the Bible to any page and you find angels. Not true. In fact, you find all kind of angels at the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, and you'll find angels at the resurrection of Christ. You find angels in the book of the Revelation. But you don't find many other angels. There are some. Most biblical characters that you know, you can name, never saw an angel themselves, like most of us have probably never seen one. So it's infrequent. So when you get to see so many in one short time span like the Christmas story, it's important. Secondly, angels are sent to minister to Christians. If you are a believer, if you follow Jesus Christ, then according to scriptures, all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation. That's Christians. So angels minister to us. They give messages. They protect and guard and so forth. That's their job. And God has created them for our benefit. Now, I realize most of you would say, I've never seen one. I don't see anybody guarding me, protecting me, fighting for me. And that's a good thing. It's nice not to have to see them, but to know that they're at work. Thirdly, angels don't have wings, except for those who have 6 wings. The cherubim, the seraphim, according to the Bible, have 6. They fly with 2. They cover their eyes with 2 so they don't see God's presence. They cover their feet with 2 of their wings because in the Bible, the feet are that which is dirty. That's, man. And so they use those wings for certain reasons. Other angels, all the other angels of the Bible don't have wings. At least we're not told that they have wings. Now, last week you saw me sitting here with the wings behind me. And that was just, first of all, not intentional, but we'll pretend that was intentional so you can see what an angel doesn't look like. Although everywhere you go, you'll see angels with wings, right? It's funny how we pick that up. Number four, angels in the Bible are always pictured as male. That doesn't mean God couldn't make a female angel. It's just saying that every place you see an angel in the Bible, they are pictured as male. I started on Monday of this week. I was out, had a meeting actually, and I walked into a restaurant and there were some decorations. And there was an angel on the top of the tree. And so I pulled out my phone and I snapped a picture of that angel on top of the tree. And then I thought, I'm going to take pictures all week. So all week long, I just took pictures of angels. And every one of them, no exceptions, were female. There was not one male angel I could find. Isn't it amazing that we, number one, think they have wings, and number two, we think they're all girls, and both those are false? Where did that stuff come from? By the way, the most disturbing picture of an angel I saw this week, the most disturbing angel I saw, I took a picture of. This is her. And my guess is she's the angel that protects all the Barbies, is all I can figure. But I thought that was a little bit disturbing. Number five, angels don't sing in Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean they can't sing. I think they can sing probably wonderfully. But we want to keep in mind that even though we sing all those Christmas carols, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and so forth, that's not really true. During the Christmas story, there is no singing. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does an angel sing. And so we want to keep that in mind, that when they said something, they said it, they pronounced it. Glory to God in the highest, for instance. Number six, angels are working among us, though we normally don't know they're angels. Book of Hebrews reminds us that sometimes you can show hospitality to someone you think's a person, and it's actually an angel, but you maybe would never know it in your lifetime because they appear to be like us. Now, that's the six things we learned, but the seventh thing is the key thought, and this is the thing I'll keep saying to you every week. The key thought from last week was, everything God does is at the perfect time. God's timing is perfect. And the words from the angel last week were, these words will come true at their appointed time. God will do things at the right time. He will not miss by a moment. And many of you know that. You've seen that even in your life this week, how things just happen just at the perfect time. And it's like, wow, God is even in control of the smallest things. Now today we come to the second angel appearance, and that's the same angel, but at a different place and time. So 6 months later, we read this story and we call it, first of all, an amazing greeting, an amazing greeting. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now that's the initial greeting or introduction. Let me tell you a little bit about it. God wants you to know the details. Actually, God wanted Mary to know the details. And so through Luke, we are now told all of the details before they happen. I love it because I used to be a newspaper reporter. When I was in college, I had a job, actually a full-time job. I loved working while I was in college, and I was a newspaper reporter in Huntington Herald Press. And I did that for 6 years, and I would write the stories, mostly Huntington University sports and so forth, but also I'd write all the real big stories were mine, like the fender benders that happened in town and, all those kind of things. Those were my jobs. So I would write them, and I'd turn them into my editor. His name was George, and I'd turn them into him, and he'd bring the article back to me, and he'd point and say, "Where?" The first paragraph has to show where. And I go, oh, sorry. So I'd redo my article and include where. Next week, he'd come to me and he'd bring me back my article and he goes, "When?" The first paragraph has to have when. So I just wrote all those things on my desk there. Who, what, when, where has to be in that first paragraph. After that, the how and the why, we can deal with that in the other paragraphs, but it's got to be there. Now I realize journalism is probably not the same today, but in those days, that's how we did it. And that's how Luke does it. I like how Luke just makes this real clear to us. In case you have questions, here you go. The angel's name, it's Gabriel. Same angel from last week, just going to a different person to speak. A different message, but a similar message. He was sent by God. He's not acting on his own. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. God sent. So Gabriel just didn't choose to do it. It was God's plan. Secondly, the timing. This happened 6 months after last week's story. Last week we learned about Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah meeting the angel Gabriel. Now, Zechariah went home. From what we understand, learning about Zechariah's division, the division of Abijah, he probably served at the end of June that year. That means he went home and his wife, according to Scripture, became pregnant immediately. So if that happened, let's say the first part of July, then we're now in December. We're 6 months later, and now the angel comes to Mary with this message. God gives us the timing so that we understand how this all worked out, and again, as we learned last week, so that it would be at the perfect time. Thirdly, the place is Nazareth. Nazaret is how you say it in Hebrew. Nazareth is in... By the way, did you notice this? In the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Why would he say that? Because I could leave today and say, hey, I'm headed to Nazareth. It could be Nazareth, Pennsylvania. It could be Nazareth, Texas. We have two in the United States. There were two or three in Israel. Nazareth also means hick town or stick town. Place in the boondocks, right? In the boonies. And so other towns might have been called that because they were small in size. And so the angel, or Luke tells us, this is Nazareth, the one in Galilee. Just quickly, I'll just show you. It's on the back of your notes as well, this map. But if you just look at the bottom of the map on the screen there, last week that's where the story happened. Gabriel was in Jerusalem in the temple. Now, 6 months later, Gabriel is sent to a small town up north called Nazareth, a nowhere place. And there's a woman by the name of Mary there. So that's what we know about the place. The virgin has no sexual intimacy. I share that with you because right away you'd say, well, we know that. But unfortunately, people don't understand because I think sometimes preachers have confused people. In the Old Testament, the word for virgin is Alma. Alma means a woman who's never known a man or a young woman. It could be either one. And so some people say, well, you see, Mary wasn't a virgin. She was just a young woman, because that's what the Old Testament can mean. Yes, it can. And if you read further in the Old Testament, I think you'll be quickly convinced that it wasn't just a young woman. However, if you're still confused, when you get to the Gospel of Luke, Luke uses a Greek word, right? He's writing in Greek, and he uses the word parthenos. Parthenos does not mean young woman. Parthenos means one thing, a virgin, someone, a woman who has never known a man. Now, those of you who've done some science studies, you understand parthenogenesis. Parthenon, partheno is the word virgin. Genesis is the word creation. So it just simply means virgin creation. In other words, something reproducing without the male. It happens in lower invertebrate animals. It happens in plant life, but it doesn't happen in people. It's never happened before. And now a virgin, in fact, let me show it to you in the Young's translation. This is the word for word right from the Greek translation. To a virgin, that's the word parthenos. The end of verse 27. The name of the parthenos, the virgin, Mary. So there's no question here. We're dealing with a true virgin. She has a fiancé. She's betrothed to be married, and his name is Joseph. He's from King David's line. Even though he is a carpenter, or the Bible says actually a craftsman, even though that's his job, if Israel would have a king, he's in that kingly line. He comes from a wonderful heritage. By the way, Joseph we studied 2 years ago. We called him the forgotten man of Christmas because we hardly ever talk about Joseph at Christmas time. And I was reminded of that again when I was preparing this message, because Joseph is mentioned here in Luke 1:27. He's mentioned a couple of times in chapters 2 and 3 where it says Mary and Joseph, so only in connection to his wife. And then he's mentioned in chapter 4 about his son Jesus. All spoke well of him, Jesus, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from Jesus's lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? That's the last time Joseph is mentioned in the Bible. There are other Josephs, but this Joseph is never mentioned again. Such an important character. We're going to read about him next week, learn more about him. But it's interesting how God uses him, and then at this point, his work is done, and now we move on. The greeting. The greeting had incredible meaning because Mary is highly favored. The word favored means to be chosen by God for a particular work. Mary knew the word. She didn't have to say, I wonder what favored means. Mary, being a godly young woman, would have known the scripture. She attended synagogue regularly, and so she knew that Noah found favor with God, and God spared him. She knew that David said, Lord, when you favored me. There are other people in the Bible who were favored. In Daniel, we read, Daniel, by the way, this is the same angel Gabriel 500 years earlier. A word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. The word there again is the word favored, the idea that he had been chosen, set aside. If I ever get to meet an angel, if an angel ever comes to me to say anything, this would be all I'd need. You are highly favored. And I'd be like, that's it, that's all I need. You could put that on my tombstone, I'm done. What a tremendous greeting that would be to be told that. Second part of the story is an awesome prophecy. This is not our focus. This is not the angel's, this is the angel's words, but this is not our focus here as we talk about Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Just like Zechariah, Mary was troubled, afraid. Did you notice the word greatly troubled? She wasn't just afraid. She was very afraid, as most of us would be if suddenly an angel appeared before us. It would, number one, startle you, as it did last week with Zechariah. Secondly, it would make you tremble in fear, most probably. And she was greatly troubled. He uses the exact same words. Remember last week what Gabriel said? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. See what he says today? Do not be afraid, Mary. I know you say that's the English. I know, but the Greek is identical. Both phrases are identical. So both times he says, don't be afraid. Secondly, the prophecy was very detailed, extremely detailed. Again, I'll just check these things off, but they're important for us to see. Number one, Mary had found favor, God's favor. And I know some of you are thinking, you already said that. I know, but Luke already said that. Luke says that twice. He said it in the previous thing we just read, and now this paragraph, the angel says, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. So twice we are told that she had found God's favor. Secondly, she would conceive and give birth. Again, she's a virgin. She knows she's a virgin. But she would conceive and give birth. How is that possible? And by the way, the birth would be a son. That's the next point. She would have a boy. Did you ever think about this? What if 9 months later she gives birth and it's a girl? What happens? You know, if God was wrong about one thing, you pick it. If God is wrong about one thing, everything is destroyed. But he's right about everything. And so when the baby's born, they don't have to say, is it a boy or a girl? They know. It's a boy. She'll give birth to a boy and his name would be Jesus. I underlined Jesus there just to remind me to tell you that the angel doesn't say why his name would be Jesus. His name will be Jesus, which is different. Next week, the angel will say his name will be Jesus because. For some reason, Joseph needed to know why, and so he explained it. Just to Mary, it's just his name is Jesus. The child would be great. The child would be God's son. His child would be a great person. Actually, he will be God himself, but he will be great. He doesn't explain that. But he will be God's son. He'll be the son of the Most High God. And this child would be an eternal king. Now, that's a double take kind of thing, right? Nobody's eternal. You know, every king has a lifespan where he rules and then he dies. So when someone says an eternal king, it kind of takes you back. Did you notice this? That's why Gabriel said it like this. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Period. That's all you need. But most of us go, forever? And so the angel tacks on the same thought, but in a different way. His kingdom will never end. That's the same as forever. But it's just a reminder to us that this is so unusual. I'll say it twice so you get it. Mary asks a very authentic question. Now, last week, Zechariah's question was more of a testing question. This is an authentic question. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Let me explain what that actually really says. Mary didn't doubt God or the angel, but she wondered how this was possible since she had never had an intimate relationship. You see, she doesn't actually say, since I am a virgin. That's the NIV translation, and that's there so that we'll understand what it is, but that's not what she says. Her literal words in the Greek, or if you want to read them in the Young's translation, are, how would this be since I have not known a husband? I have never had relations with a man. Now, you might tell other people you've never had relations, but to tell an angel could be dangerous, unless you're telling the truth, right? So she doesn't even hesitate. How would this be? I've never known a husband. I've never known a man. By the way, how will this be? Do you note the difference? Zechariah said, how can I be sure? How can I be sure means give me a sign. He got a sign he didn't want. Mary says, how will this be? In other words, I believe that it's going to happen. She's already believing. But how will this be? How will you pull this off? The angel answered. Here's the accomplished word of God. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. That's the whole angel story. Now, there's so much more about Mary, but that's not the study. Let's just look at the angel's words and what happens here. In your notes, I apologize. I made a mistake there. It says in your notes 1, 2, 3. It should be A, B, C. Some of you would probably grade it and send it back to me. I just want to correct it before you do that. So let's look at A, B, and C. Are you ready? God sometimes gives us simple answers because we can't understand the complex ones. I'm going to stop right there. Do you ever really struggle with the why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? It's my nature. I'm a person who digs. I want to find answers. I guess that's why I love the scriptures, because I just love digging for answers. And many of you know, most of you probably know, that my wife passed away just over 30 years ago. She was 34 years of age. She passed away suddenly. I had been here at Emmanuel 5 weeks. I had preached 5 Sundays, and she passed away. I can honestly tell you that, and I think people who knew me then would verify this, I was not bitter with God. I didn't reject God in any way, but I struggled deeply. And I struggled for this one reason. Why? God, just tell me why. If you tell me why, then you're good, I'm good, we can move on. But until I know why, I just don't know that I can go any further. And for months, I struggled deeply with that particular word. Why? As long as I understand why, I'm good. My father-in-law called me. He was not a person to call very often, but he called me on the phone, and he asked me how I was doing, and I said, I think I'm doing okay, but I'm still struggling with why. And my father-in-law said 2 very wise things. First of all, he said, well, Denny, I don't want to offend you, but do you understand that if God explained it to you, you wouldn't understand it? Do you realize that he's got a God brain and you've got a human brain? And he cannot explain to you what he knows because you wouldn't get it. Now, that was an aha to me, because I thought, that's right. It's so much bigger than me. But then he said something that maybe you've heard before, but I had not heard up to that point. He said, in your life where God has placed a period, don't you make it a question mark. And that was like, ah, that's what I'm doing. God has put a period in my life and said, that part of your life is over now. Keep moving. But I had put a question mark and wasn't going anywhere. Mary says, how will this be? And you see, God doesn't give her a biological answer. That's what she wonders. Since I am a virgin, I've never had relations. And God doesn't go into all the details. In fact, all of us wonder, how'd that happen? How could a woman who's never had relations have a baby? The answer is extremely complex, but God makes it real simple. He says the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Now, I know you might say, that's not satisfactory. I don't get that. But keep in mind, Mary did, at least to some extent. You see, throughout the Old Testament, there's one place the word overshadow is constantly used. It's used multiple times, the same place. And that's on the Ark of the Covenant. The cherubim had their wings spread upward. That's another kind of an angel. Overshadowing the cover with them. In other words, Mary, just like the angels, overshadow God's presence on the Ark of the Covenant. So the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And many of us will say, well, I don't understand. Well, no one does. Because God, if he explained it, we wouldn't get it. So he gave her a very simple answer about overshadowing. Secondly, God doesn't take the easy path in anything he does. And that's something you should note here. The angel goes on to say, even Elizabeth, your relative, your cousin, is going to have a child in her old age. Did you ever think about this, the Christmas story? Did you ever think about the fact that God could have chosen a young couple instead of Zechariah and Elizabeth? He could have chosen a young couple in their 20s who wanted a child to give birth to John the Baptist. He didn't have to pick two people who could never have a child and now were too old biologically to have a child. Why would you make it hard? Then you have a woman who could have just been already married to Joseph. She didn't have to be a virgin. Now, I know theologically she did. But, I mean, when you think about it the simple way, it could have just been a young couple who could give birth to the Messiah. But no, God has to make it a virgin who's never had relations. Why does he do the hard things the hard way? Because that's how we learn. That's how we get to know who he is and what he can do and his power. In the Old Testament, there's this story of the people of Israel and Egypt. You know the story, but it says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to me. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I'll bring out my divisions of people of the Israelites. God, you already know. Pharaoh's not going to listen. You're going to do mighty things, and he's not going to listen, and it's going to go on and on and on. Why don't you just pick up your people out of Egypt, just drop them over in Israel, and it's quick, it's easy. I know for me, I have a big job in front of me. I think, what's the easiest way to get this done? If I'm working on my computer and I have to do something repetitively, I think, how can I create a macro so I can just hit like a keystroke and boom, 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 I can get this done. But God always picks the hard way. Why? Because with his people in Egypt, that's how they're going to learn to trust him. That's how they're going to get to know who he is. That's how they're going to build their theology, kind of like we're doing now. In the Christmas story, that's how he's going to show who he is and how special this is. So it's a couple who are too old to have a baby and a woman who's never had relations. God doesn't take the easy way. Lastly, what God says he does. And that's the key words of the angel that we're looking at. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. You notice this? She uses the same word. May your word to me be fulfilled. God keeps his word. I love how she says, hey, count me in. I don't understand this. I realize this is going to be difficult. Earlier, I put on the screen that her name is Mara. In Hebrew, that means bitter or bittersweet. Her life is great sweetness because she gets to bear the Messiah, but it's great bitterness because she'll watch the struggles and she'll watch him die on a cross. And so, even with all of that, and I'm sure she didn't understand all of that at this point, she still says, hey, I'm in. Count me in. Two thoughts in response. Number one is, to have favor with God, one needs to be a person of obedience and of deep faith. You ever think about this? You watch a great athlete perform or a great musician perform, and you can say, well, I'm going to do like they do. And you could practice and practice and practice. And the truth is, you might get better, but you'll probably never be like that great athlete or that great musician. They are gifted. You see, you don't choose your gifts and your abilities. They are ordained of you by God. But there's something you do choose. Do you realize this? You can be as holy as you want. You can be as favored as you want. This is your call. Just live in obedience and have a deep faith And you can be as righteous as you want to be. That's not God's doing, that's your doing. Secondly, what God says he will do, he does. You can trust his timing, as we learned last week. You can trust his word. He will always bring it to fulfillment. Now, that's the last of the thoughts I was going to give you on your notes, but I have one more thought to close with, and that is this. The key thought is, for no word from God will ever fail. And if I would, and I'm not going to, but if I would give you a card today as you leave, and you would just be committed to write one thing on it, like, God, because I said I would, and you share with him what you're going to do. Or maybe you need to share this with a spouse or a child or a parent or who knows. What is it you'd say, I have not been as honest as I need to be, but from now on, because I said I would, if God keeps his word, we as his children should do the same. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to think, to pray, to consider how you can keep your word better. Craig Sloan is one of our elders here at Emmanuel, and I've asked him to come and lead us in prayer as we close.
Father God, thank you for being an amazing, gracious, and loving God. Thank you that you count us worthy of relationship with you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, that we might have life eternal with you. Thank you for Denny's message this morning. I thank you that your word never fails and that you're the same yesterday and today and forever. I just pray that we'd be salt and light in this world. I pray we would honor you in all that we do. Pray you'd be with the needs of our church, Lord. There are many needs this time of the year and many things going on in our congregation. I just pray that you'd be with those people in need. I pray that you'd wrap your loving, supportive arms around them. And I just pray that we'd come together as a community. Pray that we would honor you in all that we do as we go out into the world this week, and that we would be emboldened to share your word that never fails with those around us. In your most holy name I pray. Amen.